You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
This past Monday was April 1st and we played a prank, just like we have every April 1st since we debuted. But this time, many of you didn't get the joke. Actually, I'll tell you, all the other times, some of you didn't get the joke too. In 2022, we had an academic researcher write in to ask for the sources behind our claim that Plato was a time-traveling assassin. In 2023, some of you didn't recognize that it was Ryan Reynolds narrating the episode, or if you did, a few of you were still tricked into thinking that, yes, a secret society has silently been maintaining the cult of March 32nd for centuries. And this week, many, many, many of you thought your podcast players were broken as the episode looped and repeated saying things like, "For over 4,000 years, Hale Bopp has been looping." Part of Alan wishes that tonight would never end, that it would go on forever, and that our main character hasn't been concentrating. True, it was a subtle joke, but I thought it was funny. 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 But speaking of funny, today we're bringing you the debut episode from a brand new podcast of mine, QEZ. QEZ, which stands for nothing, by the way, is something I've been wanting to put out for a while, and I'm glad its time has come. In every episode, I ask challenging questions to three comedian contestants. They must answer correctly or bluff their way out. It's kind of a mashup of Trivial Pursuit and Balderdash. And if you like NPR's Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, or any of the many brilliant BBC panel shows like QI or Would I Lie to You, you're going to love this. I hope you enjoy. 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 Hello, and welcome to QEZ, the quiz show where you win by being smart or pretending that you are. I am your host, Lindsey Graham, and no, not that one. We have three contestants with us today vying to become QEZ champion. Our first is a Kansas native who moved south to mess with Texas. She studied at Second City's Improv Conservatory in Chicago and is the co-founder and artistic director of Stomping Ground Comedy, a theater and nonprofit organization that teaches improv as a tool to improve mental health. Hello, Lindsey Goldack.
Hello, Lindsey. Also, isn't that fun?
Our second contestant is Aniela McGinnis, an improv comedian and actress who is joining us from sunny Hollywood, Florida. But even so, she has it all beat because apparently she has been in the same room with Tom Cruise, Alec Baldwin, and Russell Brand, perhaps all at the same time.
Actually, all at the same time. But I will say, you all are better looking.
And our last contestant is Dr. Benjamin Sawyer, PhD, senior instructor in history in Middle Tennessee State University, visiting scholar at Vanderbilt University, co-host of the podcast The Road to Now, and occasional onstage funny person. Welcome, Ben.
It's great to be here. I'd like to say, Aniela, it was amazing that you managed to assault all three of those people at the same time and get them in the same courtroom.
All right, before we go any further, the rules. Now, remember, to win, you have to be smart or good at faking it. Because I'm going to ask you, our contestants, some challenging questions. If you know the answer, great. You will earn some points. But if you don't know the answer, make something up and be convincing. Because after you answer, The other contestants will have an opportunity to win points of their own for agreeing with a correct answer or spotting a fake one. Making it even harder to spot fact from fiction, each of our contestants has been given the correct answer to exactly one question. And now, contestants, please listen carefully to the sound of today's theme. Here we go. That was a tiny, very fair use portion of Look What You Made Me Do by Jack Leppards and the Dolphin Club, a cover of a Taylor Swift song she produced using a Swedish pseudonym, probably performed by her brother under a fake band name, commissioned by a TV show, but re-recorded so her sleazeball record company wouldn't get the royalties. It was a hoax. And like most hoaxes, it had a purpose. Money, revenge, or just sticking it to the man. For as long as we humans have been speaking, gesturing, or grunting at one another, we've also been lying, sometimes just for the fun of it. So all of today's questions will relate, often very tenuously, to the theme of hoaxes. And Taylor, if you are listening, first, my daughter is a huge fan. Second, congrats on the big Chiefs win. And third, please don't sue us for copyright infringement, because one of the biggest hoaxes of all time is that our champion today will have won anything worth suing for as we begin round one of QEZ. Welcome to round one, and our first question is for Ben, but before I ask him anything, Ben, did you know how hard it is to Google you for details? And this is coming from someone named Lindsey Graham, because you also have a doppelganger name twin. There is a Ben Sawyer, PhD, who's an applied neuroscientist and human factors engineer. So I wonder, are your parents confused by this, or are they just disappointed because he went to MIT?
Disappointed, Lindsay. I'll say that. To this day, when my mother tries to read my handwriting, she tells me that I should have been a doctor. And when I tell her I am, she says, no, I mean a real doctor. So just having that other Ben Sawyer and knowing that the name itself wasn't the curse, I think is just another element of disappointment that they feel with me and my life decisions.
It stings.
It does.
All right, here's question one. The legend of Bigfoot hit the mainstream in 1958. When Ray Wallace had large wooden feet carved and stamped them into the dirt to create tracks. But Ray wasn't just a prankster. Just like Taylor Swift's, his hoax also had a purpose. What was it?
He was trying to scare people off. There were people vandalizing his stuff. He worked in the woods, like he worked with logging. People were messing with his stuff, and he figured that it's a big woods. So, you know, if he put some footprints out there, then people would see it. Maybe that'd get him to not come back at night, you know?
So people were messing with his stuff, so he decided to mess with them by inventing a giant mammalian cryptid.
Yeah, it was the 1950s. There were like no cameras and stuff like that. So if you wanted to get somebody to go, you had to spook them.
Lindsay, what do you think?
That sounds like absolute garbage. Just unspecific. And look, you have a PhD, okay? I don't. My high school almost didn't get accredited awesome. When I was there, but I feel confident that's not correct.
And Yella, what about you? Have you been persuaded?
No, it sounds like BS. I kind of feel like it would probably, he said there's no cameras in the 1950s. There's absolutely cameras in the 1950s.
Not like electric ones that have solar panels that you put whenever the house next to you is being torn down so that you can film it like we do.
Well, not like that, but I actually think that I imagine the guy probably maybe like was trying to get people to get more cameras. What a great way to have people buy cameras, except to capture this. So
it was the 50s. Cameras were like $800,000 back in the 1950s.
People had like the little cranky cameras, crank ones. I think he was actually probably a camera salesperson trying to get people to buy cameras so they can take photos.
And Yella's right. I'm on her side.
All right. An alternate theory develops that it was a camera salesman instead. It turns out that Ben is actually correct.
Oh, you said it was BS, and those are my initials.
In the summer of 1958, Ray Wallace made the tracks to playfully ward off whomever kept messing with his logging equipment. But one of his crewmen stumbled upon the footprints first and called the local paper. The resulting story was the first to use the name Bigfoot and was soon international news. So Ray never confessed, and the truth didn't come out until his death in 2002, when his family finally came forward saying it was just a joke. But then it took on such a life of its own that even now we can't stop it. So that is 1 point for Ben, and no points for anyone else.
Boom, boom, boom.
Question two. This is for Aniela. Let's see how well you know your 19th century warfare. Thomas Lord Cochrane was one of Britain's finest naval captains, so ferocious that the French called him the Sea Wolf. So why in 1814, at the height of conflict between Britain and France, did Lord Cochrane craft an elaborate hoax to convince his fellow countrymen that Napoleon was dead and the French forces were defeated?
Whew. Yeah, this is a... You definitely got one of my weak points on this one. But why does anybody lie about anything? I imagine he was like, all right, are they really going to find this out? Like, how long does it take to get a message across? And maybe Napoleon will die beforehand. Maybe he was trying to do some manifesting and was just like really meditating on like, you know what, maybe Napoleon will fall into a hole and things might happen and he'll get away with it. They'd have to get a horse and buggy to get that news to him.
I see. So Lord Cochrane might also have been a mystic of sorts and was manifesting his country's victory in this conflict. Also, I like the idea that Napoleon would fall into a hole.
He was short. It'd be really hard to get back out.
Wasn't that short?
Short enough.
How short was he?
He was like normal size. I got this theory that he couldn't quit conquering countries because every time he did something cool, people were like, that short guy did that. And he was like, I guess I got to take Austria now.
Wow. Okay.
That's my theory.
All right, Ben, what do you think of Aniela's description that Lord Cochrane was just willing his country to victory?
Well, Aniela, let me just break this down. So this guy got the nickname Seawolf because of his success in creating rumors that slowly made their way across the channel and into another continent where a person heard them and was like, uh-oh, sounds like there's a rumor I'm dead, and then themselves dropped dead. You think that was it? Aniela, I think you're wrong. I think that you're lying to us. I think that you're being dishonest, and I'm not going with you on this, okay?
That's a vociferous answer from Ben. Lindsay, do you feel similarly strongly?
Okay, I want to say this. Normally, I always support women. Okay. Straight away. But I'm reading a book about Winston Churchill right now and how wild he was and just a wild leader for the time. Even he, I don't think would, his strategy would be manifesting. I think that is a little bit more of like a modern, you know, almond mom sort of thing. More of a Gen Z. So while I support you, my sister, I'm going to say that is not correct.
Not correct. Well, it turns out that indeed, Aniela is not correct. So Lord Cochrane was involved in stock manipulation, a pump and dump scheme. And it went like this. In Dover, the south of England, a man in a military uniform claimed that he just arrived from France and Napoleon had been killed. The war was won. This good news traveled fast to London, and soon prices of British government bonds soared. Lord Cochrane, just the week prior, had purchased a load of these bonds and then unloaded them at a tidy profit. Not long after, though, the man in Dover and Lord Cochrane were both convicted of fraud. But in total, the bonds sold that day were worth the equivalent today of over $2.5 billion.
Wow. So we've been doing stuff like this for a really long time.
I was also going to say, like, we made fun of you for manifesting like Napoleon dying, but this dude like manifested billions of dollars in a rumor. Now Aniela looks confident. Okay. I'm just saying. I would like that if in the biography, Lindsay, the way that Winston Churchill stopped the Nazis was he just turned to a person next to him and was like, I heard Hitler was dead. Pass it on.
It was just a long game of telephone.
Can you imagine, though, where like everyone's like, yeah, the war's over, they're dead. And they're like, but I'm not dead. And everyone's like, nah, we're good. You're dead.
Yeah, Becky said you're dead. She knows.
I heard a rumor that no one scored any points in this round. Sorry.
Well, that one worked, Lindsay.
Yeah. Are you happy, Lindsay? You did it. We're all tricked. We all feel terrible about ourselves. Give me my question.
Well, okay. Here you go, Lindsay. Here's your last question of round one.
In 1917, journalist H.L. Mencken published A Neglected Anniversary, an article in which he chided America for completely missing the 75th anniversary of a life-changing invention, one that had since become part of daily life. But the article was a complete fabrication. What everyday household item did Mencken write about?
Is this a bad time to tell you I am a visual learner? And that was the longest question I've ever heard. It's a that was a compound question. So I'm digesting it and I'm looking at the timeline. You said 1914, 1912?
1917. Fake article. About what?
See, you gave me the Cliff's Notes version.
There you go.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Okay. Household item. Okay, I'm going to say that the household item was the, I've got it. The kitchen oven.
All right, the kitchen oven.
Yeah, I said it and I don't regret it.
The kitchen oven, and that's to differentiate it from the bedroom oven.
It's not like a wood-burning stove. It's not like a wood-burning stove. It's like a modern kitchen oven that you can place stuff.
This feels desperate.
You know what? All of my answers are going to feel desperate today. I just want to say that straight away. I have a degree in the arts.
Aniela, do you think that Lindsay is cooking with gas over here?
I do not. I question myself, I will admit, with every one of these, because I don't trust even myself. If it sounds crazy, I'm like, maybe, but maybe not. So I'm gonna say I don't believe her. Like, maybe it was sliced bread, but bread hadn't been sliced yet.
Another miracle in the kitchen, sliced bread. Ben, what do you think?
I mean, I think H.L. Mencken would have to believe in himself a lot to think he was going to roast people by making them think that an oven was only 75 years old. You know what I'm saying? He goes, man, look, it would be a bet. He would have to be like, they'll read anything that I write. Watch this, an oven, which has been around for forever. He goes, I'll say it's 75 years old, and then I'll chastise Americans for it. And I just don't believe that. I mean, Mencken was a pretty well-known person, but I feel like he would have been, it feels like they gave him a deadline. They go, you got 30 seconds to invent something that was invented 75 years ago as a lie. And he goes, he just looks over and goes, an oven. I think he would have had more time back then because, you know, we used to have to think about the things we wrote before we shared them. So I think that you're wrong, Lindsay Goldapp. I think that is not an oven.
Well, remarkably, Lindsay was much closer to the truth than she might imagine. Mencken wrote about the bathtub. His article included an elaborate history of the bathtub, which he claimed was invented in England in 1828 and brought to America first by way of Cincinnati, where it was labeled undemocratic for its opulence and dangerous by local doctors. But so many people took his hoax as literal fact that Mencken had to confess, writing 8 years later, "All I care to do today is to reiterate that my history of the bathtub was pure bunkum. But today, the tale is in the encyclopedias. History, said a great American soothsayer, is bunk."
It's in the encyclopedia. Wow. So I can't trust anything.
It's true. Mencken's account, he was such an established journalist that it was picked up wholesale and reprinted everywhere.
Well, then how can we even trust you, Lindsay?
You cannot.
No.
I question all of life now.
All right. Aniela's walking away. She's going over to a bookshelf. She's pulling 26 different volumes off of her bookshelf. I guess this is it. She's going. She's getting rid of the encyclopedia.
All right. Well, that is the end of round one. And with no score in that third question, we have a total of a whopping 1 point for Ben. Ben, I hope you can keep this lead.
Me too, but it'd be nicer if you said all the points, like Ben has all the points that anybody has.
Every single one of the 1 points is Ben's.
Heck yeah. Thank you, Lindsay. We'll see how bad I feel about this pride at the end of this game.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit moto.us for more details.
This is Matt Rogers from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
This is Bowen Yang from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
Hey, Bowen, it's gift season.
Ugh, stressing me out. Why are the people I love so hard to shop for?
Probably because they only make boring gift guides that are totally uninspired. Except for the guide we made.
In partnership with Marshalls, where premium gifts meet incredible value.
It's giving gifts! With categories like best gifts for the mom whose idea of a sensible walking shoe is a stiletto.
Or best gifts for me that were so thoughtful I really shouldn't have.
Check out the guide on Marshalls.com.
And gift the good stuff at Marshalls.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
All right, welcome back to QEZ. As we start round two, we're going to start off with Lindsay Golap. And though before we start, I have two important pieces of business first. One, Lindsay, I would like to know, do you spell your name with an A or an E? Because I spell mine with an A, and I want to know if you're a heathen or not.
Well, as my mother says, I spell my name the right way, with an A.
Good. And my second question is, how does it feel to have a man's name?
You know, I'm named after Lindsay Wagner, the bionic woman. My dad apparently had the hots for her and was like, you know what? I'm going to name my daughter after this woman that is just beautiful, stunning. And like, on one hand, it can sound like, oh, that's really nice. And then on the other hand, it can sound like, do you want to do that though?
So now I have a question then for Lindsey Graham. How's it feel to know that you were named after a female superhero?
Yeah, it's a revelation. I feel actually empowered. I never knew where it came from. It's a family mystery. All right, Lindsay, here we go. Your first question of round two. We're going to ask this question of two people. So, Lindsay, I will ask you first, and then Ben, I will ask you the same question. And then you both will have an opportunity to give an answer. And Aniela will have to choose between the two of you which answer might be correct. Here we go for Ben and Lindsay. In 2023, the genial host of the BBC's version of MasterChef, Greg Wallace, came out with a documentary called The British Miracle Meat about supposedly miraculous advances in food technology. What were they? Lindsay, you go first.
It was meat grown in a lab. Meat grown in a lab. Lab-grown meat.
Lab-grown meat.
Which would also make a great band or improv team name.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think they're playing Coachella later this year. Ben, what do you think? What is your answer?
It was genetically improved crops that could grow three cycles in what previously had only been one. So the same amount of land can now triple production. and with losing no nutritional value. And this is because of CRISPR, like the new technology that they're using to modify DNA. And it's pretty amazing.
Everything he says, he sounds so confident. And the thing is, that's what men can do. I can never compete with that confidence, sometimes unearned confidence.
Frequently unearned.
Okay, so what sticks out for me right now is that Ben started talking about crops, but the name of the documentary was Meat, about the miracle meat. And crops does not fit in to me with the documentary, if we're talking about miracle of meats.
It's about feeding animals. It's about producing feed for animals. You can produce triple the amount of feed for animals now, which allows you to expand.
See, he's still doing it, Aniela. He's still doing
right,
it.
Right, still doing the thing. I like superhero Lindsay, side with women. And I am going to go with Lindsay on this one of it is lab grown meat. I have heard of it. I know that it's like super expensive right now, but I think that is the correct answer.
Lindsay is really close, but has left out a critical detail. The actual product of the British miracle meat was lab grown human flesh. The satirical BBC documentary featured the fake company Good Harvest, which was producing 6 tons of engineered human meat every day. On screen, host Wallace toured the production plant where giant meat cakes were grown in vats from thin slices of paid human donors. Wallace was then joined by a chef to discuss flavor profiles of different meats from different donors, and then teased Good Harvest's newest product, meat created using donations from children. The promo's voiceover crowed, "It's all gravy, baby, because our babies taste great with gravy."
All right. If you've said that, Lindsay, I'd be like, there's no way that's it. There would be an ethical backlash to this around the world if this even happened. They're making tons of it. I'm sorry. I'm going to say that Lindsay's wrong. And I know that's not how the game works, but I hope that that's right.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. That was a hoax. That was a hoax documentary.
Oh, man.
All right. That actually turns out to be 1 point for Lindsay for having her incorrect answer picked.
I think it was close. I want to fight that with the judges. I will fight you. I will fight you for that.
I'm going to go in with them. I think Lindsay was pretty close. Girl Lindsay, sorry.
Thank
Lady
you.
Lady Lindsay, female.
Finally.
Regular Lindsay and man Lindsay. That's what we have. We have regular Lindsay and man Lindsay.
Super Lindsay and man Lindsay.
Okay.
All right. Second question of round two is going to be for Aniela and Ben. Lindsay, you are now in the hot seat. The chic new dining spot, The Shed at Dulwich, drew fawning attention from foodies and the press alike. And on November 1st, 2017, it grew so popular that it became London's number one rated restaurant on TripAdvisor. But it was all a hoax. The restaurant didn't exist. What was on the menu?
Ooh, okay. I am actually a foodie. I really enjoy food. I have not heard of this restaurant, The Shed. It sounds like it's in somebody's backyard. Okay. I would say what was on the menu, if it's a hoax, would be, well, why do we eat? We eat for our emotions. So maybe it was emotions. They just skipped the food and went right to our emotions. That was the menu, is like, I feel happy or I feel sad. So just, you know, no food, just eating your emotions.
We've heard the phrase, eat your feelings, but The Shed took it literally. That's what Aniela thinks. But Ben, you have a different answer.
Yes. Their signature meal was called the Royal Dulwich, which was basically any sandwich you wanted to order, but they claimed that they had one hair from the Queen of England was in the sandwich itself. And so people freaked out because they love the monarchy. And yeah, they piled in to eat a hair from the head of the Queen of England.
Lindsay, this is going to be tough. Both of these are outrageous. How are you going to find the truth?
Does one of these have to be right? Is there a right answer in here? Can I say they're both absolute nonsense?
You could absolutely say they're both nonsense.
But did you hear the way I said it? Didn't it sound like...
Everything you say is said with the utmost confidence. And I'll admit, it tricks me. A man is speaking with authority. You are very tricky, Ben Sawyer, PhD. But I'm going to go with none. I think neither of those answers are correct.
All right. Neither of those answers are correct. When in fact, Aniela was right. Moods were on the menu like lust, happiness, contemplation, and empathy. In 2017, Uba Butler was getting by on odd jobs, including writing fake online reviews for restaurants. But then he wondered, if the reviews are fake, why not the restaurant itself? Inventing an absurdist mood menu that included vegan clams for empathy and mac and cheese served in a 600-thread-count Egyptian cotton bowl for comfort, the Shed at Dulwich became the new hot restaurant that no one could get into. But after thousands of emails and voicemails from rapacious gastronauts, Butler finally decided to open for real, serving just 10 very lucky and patient patrons microwave dinners in his backyard.
I mean, honestly, the Shed at Dulwich, which sounds like where you get that human meat from. You know what I'm saying?
100%.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, we call this a lab, but it's actually a shed. And when people come here to eat their emotions, we eat them.
Yes.
I'm sorry, real Lindsay, that I tricked you.
No, don't be sorry. I felt myself, how you kind of went on this, I don't know, this makes me think of this, which makes me think of this. And I'm just following my little lady brain. I should have just trusted women, and I should have trusted my women's intuition. So
thank you. I share this with you. This is our point.
Yes, because when you win, I win.
Mm-hmm. Celebrating each other.
All right, cool. That's a half a point each for him then, Lindsay. I'm still in first place.
Here's the last question of round two, and it is for Ben to decide whether Aniela or Lindsay is telling the truth. You may have heard before of a Mechanical Turk. Today, Mechanical Turk is maybe a cyber sweatshop owned by Amazon, but in 1770, it was a real thing, a miraculous contraption that for almost a century had even Napoleon Bonaparte and Benjamin Franklin floored for its uncanny ability to do what? Aniela, you're first.
A Mechanical Turk. You said that was Napoleon and Henry Ford were both floored by?
Oh, Benjamin Franklin.
Benjamin Franklin. Okay. Clearly, I stopped hearing. Benjamin Franklin. Okay. So I'd say it was some kind of musical contraption that would play music and kind of like one of those like mechanical pianos, but like a music box because there wasn't electricity yet because Benjamin Franklin still hadn't invented it. He invented that, right? Shoot.
Dr. Ben, we can feel your judgment of what she just said. I can feel it over my ear waves, okay?
Well, it
doesn't matter who invented electricity, okay? She doesn't need to know that in her day-to-day.
All she needs to know is what a Mechanical Turk is, and she does. Clearly, it's a giant music box. But Lindsay doesn't think so. She knows what a Mechanical Turk is.
Right, because I have been on a war kick. Lately, I'm fully in my dad phase of life. So I've been into like consuming everything I can about every war. I'm full dad. Okay. I'm History Channel all the time. And this is like a decoy that they used, and it could make multiple explosions that look like they were real. So it's like a weapons decoy, almost like modern, like pyrotechnics. So it's like a weapons decoy.
Can I ask a follow-up question?
Oh, I don't know, man. Lindsay, is that allowed?
Oh, everything's allowed.
Well, heck yeah. Who used it? Like who used the Mechanical Turk in the war?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know that.
I think the real Lindsay is brilliant and magical, and she is so smart.
Thank you.
All right, Ben, you have two answers to choose from, and they are both really alluring. The Mechanical Turk might be a giant music box or some fireworks. What do you think?
I'm just going to say this. I appreciate you trying to go full dad over there, and you almost had me, but you only reached stepdad. And as we all know, it's not a real dad. Okay. So I'm going to have to go with, I don't believe either one of you guys. And let me say this. I'm going to say this as someone who realizes that the entire audience listening right now would be like, oh, the white, straight white guy just didn't trust either woman. But I don't think you're right. And I think that statistically, it's 50% likely that a woman's wrong. I don't know statistics. I just know just as this 50% likely a man is. I'm going to stop talking now. I don't think either one of you guys is right.
Either one of us ladies is right.
Ben is correct, but he gets no points. In fact, no one does for selecting a correct answer or having your incorrect answer selected. The Mechanical Turk was an amazing machine that could play chess. German inventor Wolfgang von Klumpen built an exquisite mechanized automaton that he claimed could beat any human at chess. The machine was constructed to look like a Turkish mystic, set before a chessboard on top of a large pedestal that housed its mysterious workings. And indeed, the infernal machine defeated nearly every human it played against, including Napoleon and Benjamin Franklin. But in 1854, 84 years into the hoax, it was destroyed in a fire. And with no secret left to spoil, the many chess masters that hid inside it began telling their stories.
That is the saddest story ever. I mean, because it's like, hey, we got this guy who can beat anybody at chess, man. You want to let him get some credit for it? Like, nah, shove him inside this box and tell everybody it's a mechanical thing doing it. Give him no credit for his ability to beat everybody at chess. All right. Say it was a robot.
Why does Ben get no points?
Well, because I've structured the power system against him.
Oh, good, good, good.
Oh, so what's happening now? They've turned us against each other, Lindsay.
I fully support the new game rules and the structure, and let's continue.
And I'll say this. I believe in rules as a straight white guy. I think that we should all follow the rules because I believe eventually they'll work out to my advantage. So go ahead.
We are unhinged.
This is fun.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
This is Matt Rogers from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
This is Bowen Yang from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
Hey, Bowen, it's gift season.
Ugh, stressing me out. Why are the people I love so hard to shop for?
Probably because they only make boring gift guides that are totally uninspired. Except for the guide we made.
In partnership with Marshalls, where premium gifts meet incredible value.
It's giving gifts! With categories like best gifts for the mom whose idea of a sensible walking shoe is a stiletto.
Or best gifts for me that were so thoughtful I really shouldn't have.
Check out the guide on marshalls.com.
And gift the good stuff at Marshalls.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com, RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
All right, here we go. Round three of QEZ. And with the score tied 1-1, round three is really where things can boil up because points double. And let me remind you, that's twice as meaningless. So let's start round three with Aniela, who, and you know, I don't think this can be true. You asked out your now husband way back in 10th grade with a do you like me yes or no note.
Yes. He was good at math, exceptionally, effortlessly good at math. And I found that really sexy. I was like, ooh, will you go out with me? Circle and yes or no. And then he circled it and that was a binding contract forever. And that's how contracts work.
So he was good at math and you pursued the law.
I pursued the law. I was like, you circled yes when we were both 15. So 25 years later, you're stuck with me.
All right, here's your question. In 1976, New Yorker Joey Skaggs placed a classified ad promoting an unusual service for dogs. Soon after, calls came flooding in, but also so too did outrage, prompting investigations from the police, the mayor's office, and the ASPCA. What was the service?
Ooh, the service advertised for dogs was babysitting. So this is true. It really is. So my mother, when my brother was a baby in the 80s, we had a sheepdog and she would go into a store and just leave the dog attached to my brother's carriage. And the dog would babysit, in essence, my brother. And you all know the 70s and 80s, they were wild. And so it was pets as babysitters.
Animal babysitters. All right, Lindsay, what do you think?
Gosh, it's that confidence that really tricks me. Okay. But here is what's tripping me up. You said a service for dogs, and this would be a service that dogs would provide. So for that reason, I'm going to say that is incorrect.
For the reason of the word for, you say it's incorrect.
Yes, that's right. I'm a very good listener.
Dogs need jobs too.
That's what I was going to say. For dogs, I mean, this is America, all right? We send our jobs all over the place for people who need jobs. And this was really good of us to provide a service for dogs who needed money to pay for their insurance bills. And I don't know if you've ever had a dog that gets sick. It's thousands of dollars to fix them, which is a real hard thing to tell the dog.
And how's the dog going to pay if he can't, you know, get a job?
It's sad. They try to pay him bones and they won't accept it. It's a real hard thing to see a dog try to give. He's digging up everything he ever buried and they just won't take it. It's not currency. So I'm going with this. All right. And y'all, I want you to hear out why I'm going with you. Okay. Because either that's correct or you have an incredible business idea that I would like to be a part of to provide jobs for dogs who all the dogs I know are unemployed. And in this economy, we need to find them work. So I'm going with Aniela. I think she's right. It's jobs. That's the way Americans talk.
Well, Ben has just earned Aniela a point because it was not dog babysitters. Instead, it was, as Lindsay surmised, a service for dogs. In fact, a dog brothel, a cat house for dogs.
What?
Offering its services to only good boys, the ad teased the allures of Fifi the French poodle and Lady the Tramp. The public responded. From dog owners to those that wanted to watch.
It was a spectator sport.
To those who wanted to participate.
No.
But after local TV news station WABC aired an item featuring what seemed to be very delighted dog owners and dogs, investigations began. The ASPCA, the mayor's office, the city vice department. Feeling the heat, Skaggs confessed it was all a hoax. But WABC, who had won an Emmy for their coverage of it, insisted that it was real, doggone it, and Skaggs was lying to avoid prosecution.
Lindsay, this is a family-friendly show.
What's more family-friendly than dogs?
Well, I think if it was romancing dogs, then I think that's appropriate. But a brothel, that's a little too hot for TV.
Oh, I just love that he said that Skaggs felt the heat. And isn't that what you call a dog when they're in heat?
Oh, Lindsey Graham's wordplay is off the charts.
Yeah, I was going to say that, like, I hoped that, like, the scandal was that they would an investigation. And it turns out that it was actually that guy from the Mechanical Turk inside a dog uniform doing all the brotheling. And they were going to be like, well, he was pretty mad when we didn't give him any credit for that. So we asked him what he wanted. And it was weird. But after 100 years inside of a box, we let him do what he wanted to.
Oh, gosh. I do. But I also am amazed that people were so offended by this. Like, how puritanical are we that they're offended even by a dog?
Okay. If it would have been in Texas, though, we would have been like, no, open up Best Little Doghouse in Texas. We're ready.
Speaking of being ready, Ben, I hope you're ready for question 8. On November 15th, 1992, the New York Times printed a list of new slang terms becoming current in a then-growing subculture. The examples were cobnobbler for loser, harsh realm for bummer, lame stain for an uncool person, and swinging on the flippity-flop for hanging out. These were all fake, invented on the spot by the person the Times was interviewing. But what was the Times reporting on?
The Times was reporting on AOL Instant Messenger, basically, before it existed. And it didn't exist at that time. They made it up, which was bizarre because it came out like 2 years later. And none of those terms actually stuck in the chat room.
So is chat room speak in a chat room that did not exist? Oh, no. Lindsay, what do you think about that?
I shan't not fall for your trickery again, Doctor. That is not correct. The internet, like, first of all, it's a series of tubes. Okay. I don't know if you all know that. But no, the internet, any slang that it would have been reported on back then, it would have been shorthand slang, like we talk now in text. So I think that if they were making up slang, it would have been shorter slang. And this slang sounds like it came straight out of that Vince Vaughn Swingers movie. That's what I think they were reporting on. That or like the terrors of goth culture, woo, something like that. But I don't think internet.
Could you imagine Marilyn Manson being like, catch you on the flip side, swinging?
Well, these are not, they're not really in the culture, right? So they don't know. They don't know what us 90s goths were saying back then.
And Yella, what do you think? Was it AOL speak?
No, I feel like Ben is also wrong. To me, it sounds like they had gone and found some skater kids and were like probably interviewing skater kids. And the skater kids were just punking them and being like, oh yeah, hobgoblin, whatever that was. And knowing that they'd be like, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, what is it? Sounds like definitely skater kids, because I remember growing up with skater kids, and that sounds like their humor.
They're absolute trolls. They were trolling before we even knew what trolling was.
And Yella is pretty close to the truth, although no one won points this round. The subculture the Times was investigating was the hot grunge scene. And they asked Megan Jasper, 25, a former employee of the now iconic Sub Pop Records, was contacted by the Times to get an inside view into the exploding Seattle music scene, and especially its peculiar patois. In the ensuing full-page Sunday Styles article, Jasper's spontaneous nonsense was quoted verbatim. Jasper played the prank as a gullibility test that the paper of record failed. And after it was all exposed, Jasper's only regret was that she had also offered tuna platter as slang for a hot date, but the Times didn't print it.
God bless that woman.
What? Wait.
That's incredible.
I want to use those slang terms now.
What was the first one you said?
Cobnobbler.
Oh, that one's so good. A hobnobbler. It just, oh.
You're like, I got a hot tuna platter with a hobnobbler tonight, girl. Let's go swinging on the flip side. We'll be swinging on the flip side tonight with you bros. Be out there with that Betty.
All right, Lindsay, you're up. Let's see if we can break this tie. Here's your question. On Swedish TV in 1962, a technical expert claimed that anyone with some knowledge of science and a few spare krona could turn their ordinary black and white TV set into a color one. At the time, color television was brand new and very expensive. This trick seemed too good to be true. And of course it was, but what was it?
So while I'm on a World War II kick, my son is obsessed with other countries. And that is working out to my advantage right now because I know this story. And it was, you put a, What's the old timey word for pantyhose? Stocking, like a nylon. You put a nylon stocking around your TV. That's what he told them.
Okay. You take a ordinary nylon stocking, wrap it around your TV, and bang, you have saved yourself hundreds of dollars, which today would be thousands of dollars, and you get a brand new television set. Ben, what do you think about this?
Well, I got to say, I'm anxious for the show to end now because they've got some black and white TVs and I'm going down to get some nylons for them. All right. Get some knickerbockers, get some pantaloons. I don't know. It was the 1970s, Lindsay, and you were like, what did they used to call them? They used to call them the old garnets. I just feel like it just doesn't seem believable. I don't think you're right about that. Even if it did work, I don't know. No, I haven't tried it. I'm not sure if it works, but I don't think you would have said that. So I think you're wrong.
Aniela, what do you think?
Oh gosh. So here is where I struggle, is trying to fit nylons over those large TVs because they were very big.
But do you remember like old nylons, how they like eggs? How it's like these things, they were not even making sizes. It was just like, here, one size. It should fit all of you ladies.
What year was this again?
1962.
It was 62. Fit over. You know what? Again, I think it's still, I have a hard time thinking it fits all the way over, but I'm going to go strategy wise. We got to end this game. And if we both say no, we're still on a tie. So I'm taking the risk of going with my fellow lady and going, either I get a point or she gets a point. And either way, that's a win. So I, at the end of this, am going to absolutely say yes. Yes to the real Lindsay. Yes to somebody winning this.
I just want to interject that your confidence comes from a person who said they got bigger because they came out of eggs, okay?
Well, okay, wow. That was such a man remark. Yeah.
Even I know, Ben,
that, eggs are the brand.
That Legs was the brand, sold in little egg-shaped containers.
Oh, gosh. Okay, then absolutely. Either way, somebody's winning this, and it's one of us. And if one of us wins, both of us wins.
The lady brain has begun strategizing, and I think this is going to work out because Lindsay was correct, earning her a point, and Aniela picked the correct answer, earning her a point. Now, the two women are tied for first. 2 points because this is round three and points are double. So the answer was, yes, you wrap your TV in a nylon stocking. The televised interview, which you can still find on YouTube today, is a slow and ponderous 6 minutes in Swedish from a middle-aged man with bushy eyebrows and unkempt hair, the perfect, believable expert academic. He goes over diagrams of prismatic dispersion and interference patterns before demonstrating that if you stretch a nylon stocking over your TV, its images suddenly appear in color, which unfortunately no one at home could see because they all have black and white TVs.
Hi. Five, lady. Oh.
All right. So what we have here, I believe, is a score of 3 each for Lindsay and Aniela and 1 point for Ben. So here is our last question, and it might make the difference. It's made easy for all of you because it's merely true or false. But it is this time my opportunity to be deceptive. So if the answer to my question is true and you agree, you will get 2 points. And Ben, that would tie you for first. If it's false and you disagree, you get 1 point for spotting a bad answer. If it's false and you agree, you lose a point. Ready?
Let's do this.
Behavioral psychologists use the term clever Hans effect to warn of the possibility that a good story might be hiding pertinent facts in plain view. It's named after Hans Christian Andersen, whose famous fairy tales like The Little Mermaid are easily interpreted to be tales of his own unrequited romantic feelings for other men, hidden in plain sight during a time when such relationships were taboo. True or false? Now, we will go in order of most points to last alphabetically because we have a tie. And Aniela, you are the first to answer.
Oh, wow. Oh, I feel so much pressure right now because your voice is so soothing and very believable, male Lindsay. I have never heard that, ever. And I've been to a lot of therapy. But it seems so possible, because just like you telling the story, the truth could be hiding in plain sight. So I'm going to say true.
Oh, never was one word so hard. Lindsay, true or false?
Well, I agree with Aniela that everything you say just sounds like butter melting on a cinnamon roll, on like a Cinnabon. It's just, how do I disagree with you? You know, it's difficult, but I'm going to disagree with you.
Okay.
And it's literally just reverse psychology. Like, it sounds so real. It sounds so true. And you are so soothing that I think it's a lie.
Also, that's the better strategy for us ladies, because if you say false and I say true, one's going to win.
And both of us win. So
persecuted, Ben.
Yes, persecuted. That's right. It's real hard. I believe the first part of that, because there's no way that somebody in literary criticism didn't come up with that argument at some point about Hans Christian Andersen. But I think psychologists wouldn't have called it clever Hans principle, because I got more faith in them, but maybe I'm wrong. So I'm going to say that's false.
Ben, you are correct, but you are not correct enough to also beat Lindsay, who is correct. This was a false statement. The clever Hans effect is a real concern for psychologists, but it's named after a horse, not an author. Starting in 1891, clever Hans would astonish crowds by solving math problems and answering questions by striking its hoof on the ground. Even skeptics admitted that no hints or signals were being given to the horse, but a report published in 1907 concluded that the horse, clever Hans, was in fact responding to very subtle, probably even involuntary cues from his trainer. This report's rigor and conclusions are now considered classic early examples of experimental design in behavioral psychology. Well, congratulations, Lindsay Goldapp. You have stepped ahead of Ben and the patriarchy to become today's QEZ champion.
That's incredible.
I just want to say that nothing seemed like it was stake, but my feelings are hurt. So I don't know if there's a way that there's a prize that will fix that, but I'm very sorry for to all the men out there who just saw this happen. It's going to set an example, and now women are going to want to run wild in the streets and think they can do anything.
I am thrilled. I am such a I'm celebrating over here. Whoop, whoop. Real Lindsay. You got this. Look how smart. So proud of you.
I accept this trophy on behalf of myself and Aniela. And can I say a few words? I would like to thank my parents for making me a really good liar.
You're like a superhero.
Thank you.
You're the true superhero.
Thank you.
Well, congratulations again, Lindsay Goldapp. If our listeners wanted to learn more about you, where would they go?
You can see me on the very on the internet, and also at Stomping Ground Comedy a lot of weekends performing. And if I'm not performing, I'm sitting in the back laughing at everyone. And that's what I do.
Ben, where can we hear more from you?
You can hear more from me on the Roads Now podcast. You can look it up on any of podcast players, and you can check my comedy dates at sawyercomedy.com. I'm mostly performing around Nashville right now, but I do make runs across the country. So check me out there. Lindsay, this was a blast. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. And Yella, what if I was curious about what you're doing? Where would I go?
Oh, gosh. I do go and perform improv comedy almost every weekend in Delray. So if you're around there, you can go to Doghouse Theater. Go to sickpuppiescomedy.com. You can see the schedule. And if you go to AnielaMCG at Instagram, you can see where I don't post anything.
Thank you again to all three of our contestants, and thank you for listening. QEZ is an Airship production, hosted, written, edited, and executive produced by me, Lindsey Graham. Today's questions were researched by Joel Callan, audio editing by Matt Filler, production coordinator Jake Sampson, managing producer Emily Burke, music by James Henderson for Thrum. To find out more about the show, including how to get early ad-free access to all our episodes and bonus content, head to QEZ.show. That's QEZ.show. QEZ.show.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No.